This morning I'm going to preach on the subject, I'll be gone for a little while. I'll be gone for a little while. We've all had times in our Christian lives when it seems like God has, for a little while, withdrawn his presence from us. Seems like the sky might be made out of brass and our prayers don't get any higher than that. And we want to ask the question sometimes, God, where are you? Are you still there? We can't see into the throne. We can't feel his presence. It seems like a cloud has come between us, and we feel that perhaps God has forsaken us. And all of us, if we're honest, have had times like that. There are probably people here this morning that are going through a time like that right now, where you feel that God sort of has stepped back. You can't see into heaven. Again, you can't feel the presence of his spirit. I mean, the spirit's still there, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second, but just seems like he's withdrawn himself from you. Others here this morning may be on the mountaintop and say, oh, no, that's not me, preacher. I know I can see into the throne room. I can feel the presence of God. I know he's in my life. But you might be able to look across the distance and see the clouds coming and know there might be a time of trial coming to your life. In our text this morning, in Isaiah chapter 54, God, through Isaiah, comes to his people and he says this, I'm going to have to allow you to go through a period of testing. It may be hard for you to see me for a while. It may seem like your prayers won't be getting through. It may be difficult for you to see my face or feel my presence, but God says, I've got to do it. Now, it's not a part of my message, but let me just tell you why God sometimes has to do that. Sometimes he has to do that to chasten his children. Sometimes we get off of the straight and narrow way and we wander into sin and God has to punish us and chasten us. And sometimes he does that by just stepping back into the shadows for a while and saying to us, all right, if you want to run your own life, if you want to walk your own way, you go ahead, I'm going to step back. Now, again, when I say that, I'm not talking about people that necessarily go into deep, big sin, if there is such a thing. We talked about it a couple weeks. Anything that we do that's not of faith is sin. Anything that we do where we don't depend on God is sin. And so if we come to a point in our life, in any area of our life, and we say, well, God, I can handle this area of my life myself. I don't need to depend on you. I don't need to look to you. God says, okay, if that's the way you want it, I'll just step back, and you won't see me for a while. You go ahead and see if you can handle it. Other times, God is preparing us for a greater task. Other times, God is preparing us for a greater thing that he wants us to do. And so he wants our faith to grow. And so he steps back and he says, hey, I want to see if you'll still depend on me when you can't look into the throne room of heaven. I want to see if you'll still depend on me when you can't feel my presence as strongly as you have in the past. I'm just going to step back for a little while, and I want to see if you'll trust me in spite of the fact that for a moment we're not going to be as close as we were. And so that's a couple of reasons why it might appear at times, and again, we've all been there. I mean, we've had a sick child, or we have somebody that we love that's in the hospital, or something happens in our life that we can't explain, and we go to God, and we want to ask the question why, and we want to know why God allowed it to happen, and we want to know where God is, and why God hasn't intervened, and why God hasn't fixed it, and we've all had those times. And God said to his people, and he says to us, there's going to be times like that happens in your life, but before they come, I want you to know some things. I want to remind you about some things that during those times are still true. And I have, let's see, I have 6 points this morning. I had to make sure I didn't have 7. I have 6 points this morning. I only usually have 3. So you're getting double your money's worth this morning by getting 6 points instead of just 3. But I'll try to be timely and quick. And I know on the Lord's Supper that I have less time, but don't worry about the time. I'm not worried about it. We'll get done sometime. All right. So here we go. That when those times come in our life, here's what God wants us to remember. Number one, it's just going to be for a small moment. Did you notice there we read in verse 7, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee." God could have just said moment like he did down in verse 8. But he wants us to know that it's because a moment is just a moment. I mean, a moment is a small amount of time. But the fact that God says it's just going to be for a small moment, I'm going to forsake you. Now, when we're going through those times when God has withdrawn himself from us, it may seem like an eternity. It may seem like it lasts for years. But God said, no, no, no. It's just going to last for a small moment. Many of you know I took my grandsons on a little trip this week, just us. My daughter went with us, but she doesn't really like to hang with us, so she did other things, and it was just me and the boys. And we went to Disney World, and we visited the parks. And it is a challenge to keep your eyes on a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old when there's hundreds of people milling around you. Yeah, you want to have eyes in the back of your head and on the side and in the front. If Arnie tells you he did get lost, you can believe him. He did get lost one time. He got out of my sight and was gone for about 5 minutes before I found him. And I told him, I said, "Now look, you guys, it's just us. We have to stay together." Adam was so worried he threatened to write in unerasable ink his name and phone number on his arm right here. But I checked when we got on the plane Monday morning, and he didn't. But anyhow, he wandered off, and they both wandered off at times, and I had to keep saying, "Come on, you got to stay with me." Reminded me of when I was a kid. When I was a kid, about 8 years old, about Aaron's age, my grandmother, she loved to take me shopping with her down in downtown Detroit. And some of you might remember the name of the store at J.L. Hutchins. It was a department store. It was multi-storied. And at Christmas time, the whole 13th floor or whatever it was decked out in Christmas decorations. But we would go, every time I would go and visit with her, and I like to go visit with my grandparents, especially in the summertime, I just love to go stay with them. And we would, in the summer, we'd go down there once a week. And on the 7th floor at J.L. Hutchins was the biggest candy counter I had ever seen in my whole life. Just compartment after compartment after compartment. And every time we would go to J.L. Hutchins, it was like a voice that came out of heaven that called my name. "Daryl, Daryl, the candy is here." And I know that chocolate, you really can't smell it, but it seemed like when I stepped into the store, I could just smell that those chocolate-covered malt balls and those chocolate-covered peanuts and those chocolate-covered raisins calling my name. And invariably, we go in and Grandma would say, "Don't wander off. Stay right here close to me." Well, I heard that voice from heaven, and I would end up right in front of the candy counter with my nose pressed against the glass, coveting that chocolate. I know I was too young to understand that coveting was a sin, but I coveted it. One day, Grandma decided to teach me a lesson. She said, she didn't say it out loud, but I'm sure she said it to herself, "Every time we come down here, he wanders off. Every time we come down here, I have to go looking for him. I'm going to teach him a lesson." So we went into J.L. Hutchins. The chocolate called me. I floated to the 7th floor. Now, she was right behind me, but she wanted to teach me a lesson. So she stepped behind a pole. I sat there and I drooled over this and this and this and this, and finally got my fill of looking and turned around and started looking for Grandma. Where's Grandma? She's gone. I left her right over there, but I don't see her. Where is she? I got a little worried. I actually, believe it or not, started to cry. Arnie started to cry when he got lost. But anyhow, I started to cry. Where's my grandma? The lady from the chocolate counter came and said, "What's the matter, little boy?" I said, "My grandma has deserted me. I'm here in the middle of this big department store with no adult supervision." She said, "Would you like a piece of candy?" I said, "Oh boy, this is, no, 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 no." I said, "No, I don't want any candy. I want my grandma." At that point, she stepped out from under behind the pole. And she said, I told you not to wander off. Stay close. That's exactly what God does to us sometimes. We wander off from him. He steps behind a pole and he says, don't wander off from me. Now, listen, it only lasted for about 3 minutes, my experience. Arnie's experience lasted about 5, and it was worse on me than it was worse on him. But it's only for a small moment. It's only for a small moment. We call out, Father, where are you? Daddy, where are you? He says, I'm going to be gone. But it's only going to be for a small moment. You won't be able to see me, and it may seem like your prayers are getting through, but it's only going to be for a small moment. Number two, it will end. It will end. I'm not going to hide my face forever. It will end. Time's going to come when I will reveal myself to you again. God says, hey, the burdens are going to come, and the heartaches are going to come, and the trials are going to come. But before they come, I want you to know they're just going to last for a small moment. And then you say, well, just a minute, preacher. My small moment is weeks now. Or my small moment is months now. Or my small moments is years now. Yes, but compared to eternity, compared to endless time, it's just a small moment. And if God has to use a small moment of a week or a month or months or a year or years, if God has to use a small moment to get us closer to him, just know that it will end. It will come to an end. One reason it will end is because God can't stand to stay away from us very long. He just can't do it. He can't stand behind the pole and see his children suffering. He loves us too much to do that. I mean, look what he said in verse 7. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee. Amen. You see, God can't keep himself separated from us very long because he loves us too much. You go back and you read the book of Hosea. You read how God talked to his people through the prophet Hosea. He said, Ephraim or Israel is joined to idols. Just let them alone. God, what God was saying, I'm so fed up with my people, how they've turned away from me. Let's just leave them alone. And then in just a few verses later, he says, how shall I give thee up, Ephraim? He says, you're my children. I love you. I can't forsake you very long. And so I may have to hide myself from you for a small moment, but it's only going to be for a small moment, and it will end. It will not be forever. Number three, God says, even though you can't see me, I can still see you. Even though when you look to heaven and you can't see into the throne room anymore, even though when you pray and your prayers don't seem like they're getting through, listen, I'm still there. And you may not be able to see me, but I can see you. I couldn't see Grandma, but she had her eye on me. She was behind the pole. She was hiding behind the pole, and I couldn't see her. But she could see me. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Listen, if God keeps his eyes on the birds, he'll certainly keep his eye on us. I think about that song. Ethel Waters used to sing it. I'm dating myself this morning, talking about J.L. Hudson and Ethel Waters. But Ethel Waters, and Brother Wendell sings this song sometimes. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow. Not a bird falls to the ground. Not a little sparrow falls to the ground without God knowing about it. And if God loves the little birds that way and keeps his eye on the little birds that way, he will certainly keep his eye on us. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. Amen. And I know he watches me. So it's only going to last for a moment. It will end. And even though we can't see God, he can still see us. Number four, he says, I still love you. I still love you. May seem like that, not seem like that down in the valley. May not seem like I love you when the trials come. May not seem like I love you when the heartaches pile up. But listen, you don't have to feel the love of God to know that God loves you. He made a promise to us in his book. He made a promise to us that he will love us with an eternal, everlasting, never-ending love. And even in those times when God has to step back and hide himself from us and withdraw himself from us, we can know that he never stops loving us. His love is enduring. Number five, my kindness is still there. That kindness, that word kindness means that he's going to take care of us. Do you know that even though God's kids are bad sometimes, he still feeds them? Believe it or not, when Adam was growing up, sometimes he would mess up. I know some of you think he doesn't ever do wrong, but I'm going to pop that bubble this morning. When he was a kid, sometimes he was disobedient. Sometimes I had to send him to his room. Sometimes, well, one of us had to go do corporal punishment. Now, I don't care about being politically correct. That means we went and spanked him with a switch or a ruler or whatever else I could get my hands on. His mother would never do it, as far as I know. I always had to do it. Hurt me worse than it did him. But anyhow, had to do it. And sometimes, you know, his punishment was going to his room. But when dinner time came, I didn't say to him, nor did his mother say to him, Adam, you've been a bad boy. You don't get to eat tonight. He always got to eat. Think about the Israelites. They disobeyed God. He brought them to the edge of the promised land. He said, go in, take it. It's yours. I'm going to give it to you. He said, oh, no, we don't trust you enough to do it. We don't think you can give it to us. And God had to punish them. He said, hey, they sent spies in. The spies spent 40 days spying out the land. And God says, I'm going to punish you. You're going to have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day that the spies spent in the land. And everybody over 20 years old died as they were wandering through the wilderness because they disobeyed God. But you know what God did for those 40 years they were in the wilderness? Every day he fed them. Manna in the morning, 6 days a week. On the sixth day, gave them twice as much, enough for the seventh day. When they needed water, he gave them water. He sent a cloud by day to lead them and a fire by night to show them which way to go. He made it so their shoes didn't wear out. Make so their clothes didn't wear out. He took care of them. He was kind to them, even though they were disobedient children. In the midst of his punishment, his kindness did not leave. Notice in verse 10, we read it, for the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Means even when God steps back and we can't see his presence or can't feel his presence like we once did, his kindness, his taking care of us is always going to be there. And then number six, neither shall the covenant of my peace depart from thee. Even though God has to step back into the shadows at times. Again, to get us to quit wandering away from him, to get us to stay close to him, or to prepare us for something big that he wants us to do. Even though he has to step back into the shadows for a minute, he says, look, even though you can't feel my presence, even though you can't see me like you used to, my promises, the promises that I made to you, are still good. They're never going to be revoked. I mean, even though I may be behind the pole, even though I may be hiding so you can't see me, my promises are still good. And he mentions one there in verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. when God sent the flood to the earth and destroyed the earth, except for Noah and his wife and his three boys and his three daughter-in-laws, when they came off the ark, God said, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to promise you that I'll never again destroy the earth with a flood. And he put a rainbow in the sky. He said, this is a token of my promise. And so during those times that God steps back and we don't feel his presence like we normally do, and our prayers don't seem to be getting through like they normally do, and we can't just see the presence of God in our life like we normally do, even in those times, the promises of God are not revoked. They are always true. They will always stand, regardless of whether we can see God or not. Now, one of those promises I want to point out to you this morning is the promise that he makes to us about what we celebrated with the Lord's Supper this morning. A promise that, and we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise that's never going to go away. You may be here this morning and you don't know, all these things I've talked about this morning were to God's people. All these things I've talked about this morning were for Christians. That at times he's going to step back and we're not going to be able to feel his presence. Only going to last for a small moment. It will end. And he's always, even though we can't see him, he sees us. And his kindness is never going to depart. And his promises are never going to be broken. All those things are for Christians, God's children. If you're here this morning and you're never and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're not one of his children. There's only one promise that you need to be concerned about this morning. There's only one promise that you need to claim this morning, and that's the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. The penalty is separation from God. Jesus paid that penalty on the cross, and he offers to every person the gift of eternal life. He offers to every person the gift of salvation. That's a promise that's never going to go away. Promise that's going to last till this earth ends. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you this morning, have you done it? You can't claim any of these other things I've talked about until you claim that one. You can't claim that God stepping back and not being able to feel his presence is only going to last for a moment and it will end and his kindness will never depart and his promises will never depart and he's going to keep his eyes on us. You can't claim those until you claim this one. Until you're willing to admit to God that you're a sinner. Amen. And there's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from him. And that when Christ went to the cross, he paid that penalty. He paid everything that we owed. Everything that we owed for all our sins, he paid for it on Calvary. That's what we tried to picture this morning in the Lord's Supper. His body was broken. His blood was shed for our sins, not for his. For our sins. And if we'll come to him and believe that and call upon him, he'll save us. Not only write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, but dress us in the righteousness of Christ. When Jesus looks at me after I asked him to be my Savior, he didn't see my sin anymore. He saw the righteousness of his Son. Amen. If you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, when God looks at you, he does not see your sin anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees that righteousness. And if you're here this morning and you've never claimed that gift of life that God extends to every person, I invite you to claim it this morning. It's the only promise you need this morning is to come to Christ as Savior. So listen, if you're going through a time in your life right now where God has stepped back and you don't feel his presence like you once did, and your prayers don't seem to be getting through, you want to ask the question, why, God, have you allowed this to happen in my life? I've tried to be a good servant. I've tried to love you. I've tried to live my life in faith. Why are you allowing this to happen? God says, there's a purpose. It's only going to last for a small moment. It'll be over. It will end. You won't be able to see me, but I'll always be able to see you. I still love you. I'm still going to take care of you. And my promises are always good. One day, maybe on this earth, maybe in heaven, don't know. But one day, the clouds will roll back. One day, we'll be able to say what that song that we sing sometimes says, it will be worth it all.
Amen.
When we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. As Barb sang, hang on, hang on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. I pray for every person here, whether they're going through it right now, whether they've just gotten out of it, or where they're about to go into it, where we just can't feel your presence like we normally do, that you'll help us to realize there's a purpose for it, there's a reason for it. You're trying to accomplish something in our life. It's going to last, but it'll only be for a small moment. And even in that small moment, you still love us. Your kindness is still there. Your promises are still good. I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them, that you would show them their sin, the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. Help them to make that decision this morning to come to the Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. For those that need to get baptized, I pray they'd come and submit themselves for baptism. For those that you're leading to join the church, I pray they'd come and make that decision. Just, Father, use this invitation as you see fit to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.